Dear Heavenly Father, just continue to have your way in this service. And as always, guide my words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
For those who have been here the entire service, you kind of already got your sermon. between she and between what Pastor Linda prayed, I really don't have to stand up here. It might not necessarily be in the way that they gave it, but I will continue to stand up here and give what God gave me. I don't ever know how to start these things, so usually God just says, hey, just start talking, and I'll take you from there. So where I'll start is, I don't talk about this person a lot, believe it or not, but I thank God for my dad. He is literally one of the most amazing people I know. He's not going to make eye contact with me right now, and I know he won't. the man is called many things, as far as just his name, from Herb, which is really weird to say out of my mouth. Uncle, again, that's weird because he's dad to me. He's dad, old man, old dude. Whatever else I can think of at the moment to get his attention, because usually I need to call him 18 different things just to get his attention sometimes. But that's him, because his mind's always moving. He's always doing something. But then, when he's here, he has a title. His title's minister, for those who don't know. He also has other titles outside of church: father, brother, son, uncle, all that good stuff. But probably the most important title him and anybody else can have is servant. And sometimes I don't think we realize how important that title is. And the beautiful thing about that particular title is that not only do we all have it, we all should want it.
Amen.
I'm going to take a couple steps back and go to, for those who do want to follow me or just read up on the screen, Matthew 23, and I'm gonna read quite a few verses today, guys. This is what God gave me, so bear with me. Starting at verse 1, Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with the unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. They wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. Don't address anyone here on earth as father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you only have one teacher, the Messiah. The greatest among you must be a servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So I'm going to talk about a few other people today as well. But now I kind of shift my focus to my pastors. They are our head and our little church hierarchy. In our world hierarchy, it's God, Jesus, and then we have us as Christians. And in that little Christian hierarchy, there's our pastors. However they organize themselves, that's between them and God. But then it comes to our pastors. I've known Pastor Rick all my life, and he is one of the most humble people I have ever met in my life. The man gives of himself, not only to me, not only to the people that are under him, but to everybody. But that's because that's what God's called him to do. God's called him to be not only a pastor, but a servant. Amen. To people. Mm-hmm. I think about Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony comes up here and says some stuff that a lot of people don't like. It ain't always pretty. But he would be doing a disservice to us if he didn't come up here and say what he said. Same thing goes with Pastor Mike. Pastor Linda tends to, every now and then she'll hit you with the hammer on the back of the head a little bit, but then she go come in and hug you and smooth out the bump. But definitely Pastor Tony and Pastor Mike, they come up here and they say some things that aren't, for lack of a better term, aren't very nice. But again, they would be doing us a disservice if they did not say those things. Sometimes you need to hear the hard stuff. She said, allowing God to speak through her earlier and says, we are doing ourselves a disservice if we don't talk about sin. That's true. So whenever anybody's up here, especially our pastors, we just gotta listen, grin and bear it. Even if you think they're talking about you, they're not really talking about you. But, you know, just listen and hear what God has for you, because that's their job as pastors, but not only pastors, as servants. Amen. Eventually I'm going to get there, but John 13 is where we're heading next. And then on top of everything else, I appreciate our pastors for not being afraid to give what God has given them. Because, again, as a servant of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can only give what they give us. So if they give us something that sounds a little harsh, you kind of just have to accept it. But also, again, they give of themselves. Pastor Linda's probably one of the most giving people I've ever met, to be fair, which kind of goes into this next part in John 13, 1 through 17. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper. The devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested. You will never, ever wash my feet. It's always something with Peter. It's always something with that guy. But God had him there for a reason too. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Again, it's always something with this guy. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him, and that is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down. Do you understand and asked, "Do you understand what I'm doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash others' feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." If even Jesus can humble himself to wash those crusty feet, because think about it. Think about the time that they lived in. They probably didn't really have shoes like talking about. And if they did have shoes, they wore sandals. So toes all out and open and everything like that. Dusty, dirty, everything like that. But Jesus humbled himself to bend down on his knees and wash his disciples' feet. Jesus was a servant between washing the feet of his people, between doing all the miracles from just the simple turning water into wine, which of course, yeah, that's not simple, but to raising the dead. From A to B, Jesus was a servant his entire ministry. That's all he did. He happened to have people follow him. It made life a little bit easier for him sometimes. Also made life a little bit more difficult for him, as we know. But Jesus sat there and just served people. That leads me to go back a little bit in John, to John 3:16. And I don't really need to turn to it, and I'm pretty sure y'all don't even need it up on there to know what it says. But if you don't, it's up on the wall too. Got it a little bit of everywhere. "For God so loved the world that he gave." And I'm purposely stopping right there. I go back to talking about my dad. I thank God for him. I thank God for having placed me under his wing, because I don't know who I would be had I not. I thank God for my pastors, for all the love and the support that they give me, right, wrong, or indifferent on my part. There's one other person that I kind of want to point out, and that's Eric. Little does he know, a lot of our conversations are just kind of like all over the place. Just, they seem like we're just talking. But a lot of the conversations that we've had in life, about life, have helped me so much that I don't know if you knew all that, but it has greatly helped me in life, just being able to come to you and talk, whether, you know, life, sports, doesn't matter. Sometimes you just need that person that is just willing to just stand there for an hour and a half after church and just talk, as we have done multiple times. I appreciate, and everybody else, I appreciate all that you guys, my church family, have given to me. You guys have been servants to me all my life. and I appreciate it. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, but the only way that we could be servants is if God himself was a servant. God gave of himself. God did not have to send Jesus down here. But God gave of himself, and gave of himself willingly. So what should we do but give of ourselves willingly? Now, God's not telling you to go out here and give everything away. Unless he is, and then that's between you and God. But God's not... God expects you to love his people, and by his people, we don't just mean Christians, but we mean everybody. God expects you to love his people just as much as he loves us. God expects us to be willing to give of ourselves to his people. If, as y'all know, I'm not the most comfortable in front of people. I guess it's kind of hard to tell right now, but but it's not my preferred place to stand in front of people. But I can't move forward in my walk with God unless I do this. Unless I do what God tells me to do and give of myself to y'all. Unless I am a servant to y'all. And not only being a servant to y'all, but being a servant to God just by listening to him and doing what he says do. As hard as this walk with Christ is, he really does what he can to try to make it as easy as possible. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Like, doing just those two things is being a servant. Being willing to turn to your neighbor and just say, hey, do you need anything? Are you good? Just having a conversation with somebody. I think we don't sometimes realize how powerful just a good morning can be. Like, my grandma, she was the type of person that was going to hit you with the praise the Lord. How you doing this morning? Jesus loves you. Not everybody's like that. I'm not like that. I can't be my grandma. I can't be Pastor Rick. I can't be Pastor Linda. I can't be my father. I can't be Pastor Tony, Pastor Mike. I can't be she, certainly. I can't be those people because that's not what God called me to be. But what God did call me to be is a servant, just like everybody else. That's all he's called us to be. How we do that, God will lead us how to do that. Whether it's standing on the pulpit, whether it's just saying good morning to somebody, whether it's being, whether it's sitting in the back and doing deliverance, whatever it is that God has you to do, one, first you need to find out what it is that God wants you to do, and then two, just do it. Just do it. It's not hard. It really isn't. And like I said, he, as hard as the walk with Christ can be, he tries to make it so easy for us. He tries. I think at the end of the day, we're the ones that make it hard. If God can be a servant, if Jesus can be a servant, if our pastors can be a servant, what makes us any better? I'm just going to end by saying this. We should all strive to be servants, to God first, and then to each other. Because two commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do those two things, you got this servant thing in the bag.